Hello, this is Eric Ponder, talking with Jackie Gallagher, General Manager of the Sparrow Schools in Johannesburg, South Africa, talking about my Johannesburg conversation. Hi, Jackie.
Hi, Eric.
Can you talk a little bit about Sparrow Schools?
Okay, so Sparrow School's been going for 28 years in Johannesburg. Started out very much during the old dark days of apartheid, when a lot of the black children were trying to get into the open white schools in the suburbs. So I started working with four children on a Saturday morning, trying to help them bridge that gap between the education for black children and the education for white children. And it's just really grown. And it's changed completely, because when we started out, we were very much working as a bridging school to assist young people to get out of the really poor teaching and help them into the sort of white suburb schools, which were offering a far better education standard. But it's changed quite a lot in that we now focus very much on children that have got learning difficulties. And the profile of the child that we're dealing with has changed so much, because we deal with a lot more orphans, a lot more vulnerable children, children whose education has been neglected, and we focus very much on those types.
And are there schools in the area that also focus on these things, or are there limited resources as far as where these students can go?
Yeah, they're very limited schools in terms of children with special educational needs. But just also to go back, Eric, and just say that a lot of the children that come to us don't necessarily have a learning difficulty, but it's the fact that they're not getting taught the foundation phase. The education system on the whole is not in a good place. So, and again, it comes down to social economic issues, you know, where there's a lot of poverty, parents who themselves are illiterate wouldn't understand that my child that's in grade two, that's in a class of 45 and has some learning difficulty that could be addressed, is not going to get the help that they need. And we also have a system in South Africa where you can't necessarily just fail a child, so children just get pushed up from grade one to about grade five, and it's discovered that the children cannot even read or write. So we get a lot of those types of children as well. It's also very difficult to assess the children that come in to Sparrow when a parent says that a child has a learning difficulty, because there aren't really culturally friendly assessments. So all these assessments are done in English, and then taking into consideration that some of our children, English could be their sixth or seventh language. So it's only when they come into Sparrow that we actually can diagnose literally what the problem actually is, and then fix up the problem and hopefully mainstream them or assist them into a remedial focused program.
In the last 23 years, one of the social projects of South Africa has been to fix the education system or merge the education system, because they've been so separate. How has that been going, and how has that affected education today?
Well, I think that the government has made huge strides in merging. And I think that for the majority of children that have been able to access those old white schools, yes, definitely we've seen success there. And there were a lot of like teething problems, but I feel on the whole that those children have really benefited, and we have very mixed schools now where good teaching does happen. When we look at the township schools that are still there, where poverty reigns and where parents cannot afford to, or it's not even just the affordability, that's one of the compounding factors, but even the fact that a lot of the parents themselves are not educated, are illiterate, don't have an understanding of what a school should actually be delivering, we've still got huge neglect and huge abuse happening in those schools. You know, you're looking at classes seriously of like 45 to 70 children in a class where the teachers themselves are not arriving at work or neglecting these kids. So that's where we still have huge problems. But I think there have been huge developments in the merging of children into one sort of system school, which definitely, and again, you know, in schools in South Africa, I mean, I suppose like all over the world, where you can afford and where it's a thing of having money, their children are getting a pretty good education, as would be expected. But again, it comes down to those children that just don't have anything.
So when we look at South Africa today and we talk about youth unemployment, education, inequality, how do you kind of see yourself within the community of Johannesburg? You're situated here in Johannesburg. I'm quite sure you have students coming from all over the area or the region of the municipality. How do you kind of see yourself in attempting to address some of these issues?
So we've got two schools where we work very closely with a lot of communities in trying to change the lives of those children, because we really believe that education is the key to unlocking the potential in all these young people. But then going a little bit more into my Johannesburg and even my country, we also have a college, a further education and training college, where we address the issue of unemployment. It's an incredibly complex problem because the young people that are coming to our college are students that have graduated, but again, it's a poverty issue. It's also an education issue where they don't understand or haven't had any career counseling. But the third factor is that these young people are unskilled and they cannot afford to go onto a tertiary institution, being a university or a college, because it's just completely out of their social, economic sort of sphere. So we offer a program where young people can come and be assessed. They then get trained and they get a full bursary. This is provided for by a company. We then train for that company's pipeline. For example, motor mechanics, where we would bring in a young graduate, a high school graduate. If they have an interest and if they pass the assessment, they would then be given awarded a full bursary. We train them up in motor mechanics and then they get placed into a dealership where if they pass there after the first year, they would then get a job. And that's having a huge success rate. We're placing over 70% of our young people into jobs. But we work very closely with people in Johannesburg, both on the industry side, to find out what is the short skill in the country, where is the need, and then we find the young person that fits that criteria. So that's been a huge success, and I think in that way, yes, Johannesburg, my city, which I really love, I think we're making a huge impact in trying to bring down that rate of unemployment amongst young people, and also just the frustration of young people who just haven't got any future. It's really just meeting that need. And of course, it's not just the education side. I mean, we have to look at a whole lot of other factors as well when this young person comes to your college. Is, you know, are they eating? Have they got transport money? Are they the only ones? They could possibly be the only one out of seven people in the family who is now, in inverted commas, employed. You know, so we have to teach the punctuality, arriving on time, work ethic, opening up a bank account. So it's a really very big project. It's not just a case of, well, here's a college, run a college. It's got a lot of underlying factors, and that's why I'm saying it's very complex.
Yes.
When you get a young person coming to our college, it's a complex problem that you're trying to fix.
But don't. But would you also argue that many of these young people that come to you, in some ways, do have skills? You know, it seems like there is a... you know, all this human development, this human skill that is just being untapped in so many ways.
Absolutely. And I think what's been really interesting is that, you know, if we go back to the old apartheid era, and understandably, learning a technical skill was kind of, you know, the thing that a common laborer and generally a black person would have been given. So we've had to change that whole perception in the mindset of our young people that having a technical skill you know, you can become a business owner. It's a valuable skill. You can get paid a lot of money. Motor mechanics get paid a lot of money. That this is an attractive job because we have got this human capital, and we've got people with phenomenal drive and you know, I always say survival skills. You know, they've learned these survival skills that. And so when you're able to employ somebody that and channel this energy into the right thing, you land up with really passionate young people who want to make a difference in their own communities as well, and with even their own families. So yes, we've got a gold mine.
Yeah. And also all these young people can't all fit into the first economy, right? I mean, they all can't find jobs. Some of them will have to be entrepreneurs. Some of them will have to find other avenues other than corporate South Africa. Correct.
Absolutely. And I mean, the thing is, corporate South Africa is still looking to employ skilled artisans, and we've got a desperate need to fill that gap. I mean, we're employing people from, you know, the Philippines, etc., etc., in those artisanal skills because we don't have those trained, skilled people, and so this is a huge gap in the employment market, and it's definitely something we need to be tapping into.
So when you talk about My Johannesburg, can you tell us a success story for one of your graduates or something
like that? So there are quite a few, but I'm going to start with a young man called Itumeleng, who was living on the streets. And he was offered some help by just this random person who just really loved Itumeleng's energy and what Itumeleng spoke about every day. So he gave Itumeleng some jobs like cleaning and helping him in his factory. And then he found out about Sparrow, and Itumeleng came for an assessment, and he only had a year 9, a grade 9 school certificate. So he came onto our floor installation program, and he graduated and he has started his own business. And so now Itumeleng owns a car. He set up his own little business. He's just started renting a home for his family. And he's really got this little business up and running. He's got quite a number of contracts at the moment. And he still receives a lot of mentoring from us to ensure that, you know, his business will be a success. We also have two sisters out in Soweto who came on our early childhood development program, graduated and opened up a nursery school in Soweto, and it's grown so big now. They've been in operation for 3 years, and they have a waiting list. They've gone on to study further, and they're now looking at buying a property. So they've opened up a little building fund. They've been raising funds, and they've been meeting with the banks, and they've been saving in this bank account as well. And they're looking at purchasing a property now because they'd like to. They've gone from 4 children to 60 children, and they have the capacity to go to 80 children. They've employed 2 people from the community, and those were 2 young and unemployed people sitting at home. So
this mission, this personal mission of yours, and the mission of the school, is community building, nation building. Would you say?
Absolutely, absolutely. I really think that I'm passionate about my country. I'm passionate about my city. I think that education does unlock. And when I say education, I'm talking about it in the broad sense of the word, because it's not just a fact of getting that high school certificate. It's what is the potential out there for somebody to go out and make money and build their community. And community starts with their families, because the majority of the students coming to us are coming from unemployed families. And so now if one person gets a job, 7 people in that family are affected, is the stats in South Africa. Mm-hmm. So if you think on it, on average, we're training up 400 young people a year, 70% of them getting jobs or starting their own business. How many people are then impacted by that? So our communities will then be impacted. Mm-hmm. They will then look after their children better. Their children will get a better education. And ultimately, it's Johannesburg that is impacted by that.
Thank you so much, Jackie.
Thank you.